So today's reading is in Proverbs, more on wisdom, and it's Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 15. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed I will call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding. And I, you look for as for silver and search for as it is hidden treasure. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth and come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright, and he is a shield to those who walk in is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guide you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who have left from the straight paths to the walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perseverance of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways.
Thanks, Alison. If you have a Bible, keep it open in Proverbs chapter 2 there. And we're going to jump around a bit today because we're thinking about, our series is called The Good Life. And we've been encouraged and reminded that the good life is actually found under God. And our key verse through this series is Proverbs 9 verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so we want to live a good life. Where does it start? How do you know? Well, you come back to God. And recognizing who he is, living rightly under him, gives you that starting point for living a good life. And so if you haven't read the book of Proverbs, go and read it. It's in the Old Testament. It's extremely practical. It's like, how do you live? What do you do? And today is thinking about what it means to have a character of a wise person. What's that thing within you that drives you? And Johannes, if you missed last week, go online on our YouTube channel. Johannes did a fantastic job on one verse sermon, which is pretty hard. And the encouragement was, be using our words well. How do we use the words that we speak? He was reminding us we can use our words to hurt, to bring about harm if we're rash and quick to speak and slow to listen. But we can also use words to bring about healing. And words can bring healing in relationships, you know. As we slow down, we take time to listen, we speak less, and we insert God's words of healing. And he encouraged us last week to send words to each other. Hopefully you've got a few text messages this week of, here's a great verse I've learned. I've had a few come through. Keep sending them through to each other. It's really practical. And the end point he got to last week was the words that you speak actually come out of the overflow of your heart. Jesus said, out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks. So what really goes on inside is actually, it drives what you speak. And today, this idea of what is that deep inner part of yourself, we're going to use the word character. It's the character within you that actually comes out in your actions, in the way that you speak, the way that you live, the way that you work. It's that deep inner part of yourselves. Now, I was at the beach, probably shouldn't have been there, on Thursday, and I ended up chatting with two young fellas, and they had two different stories of learning life and working out their character. One young fella, he had a near-death experience in the surf, and it was pretty harrowing for him, ended up in hospital, it made him reflect upon his life. And I said, so what do you reckon was the cause of that? He said, oh, probably too much alcohol, not enough sleep, and then sort of body kind of shut down. He said, I realised a life lesson. That's not what I want to do. You know, he's learning about character, living life differently. I chatted with another fella in the water as well. He's a young dad. He was reflecting on his failures, his successes in life, the things that were good, the things that were not so good. And he said, you know what? I've learned a bunch of life lessons. And these are things I want to pass on to my kids. That's the life of wisdom. It's looking at your life, looking at your character, and then allowing that character to be formed. And what we're going to look at today is that our character is formed not in isolation, but actually with others and under God. And so here's our four quick points today we're going to get through. First of all, we need to work out what character actually is. We're going to think about how our character is formed individually in ourselves. We're going to look at character being formed among other people. And then finally, we're going to land with character being formed ultimately under God. We need a direction. And so God gives us that direction in life. I'm going to pray because we need a bit of help, don't we? So let's pray and ask for God's help. Father God, we thank you that you are here right now. By the power of your Holy Spirit, be at work. Help us to take time in these moments to open ourselves to you and to your word. And I pray that you will speak to us. Help us to wrestle with our own character and to bring it to light in light of who you are. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so the first thing is, what is character? It's a good question, isn't it? And character, this guy, John Wooden, he was a basketball coach, and he said the true test of a man's character is what he does when no one is watching. That's interesting, isn't it? It's really, character is the core of who you are. When no one else is watching, when it's just you and God and silence, what's actually within you, deep within you? And so if you go back historically, the word character comes from the Greek word character. There you go. You've learned a Greek word. Character means character. And so the Greeks actually used this to describe an engraving or a symbol. So you might have a sound, A. All right, there's a sound A. How do they make a character to represent the sound A? You make an A shape. That's a character, right? And so kings would often have this, or noblemen would have a symbol that would be a character or a stamp of their family or their name that would represent who they are. We have it now with organizations. You know, you have a swish. That's all you need. That tells you that company is Nike, and that's it. That's a character that represents the organization. And so when we start talking about character, it's the outward expression of who you are on the inside. I think that's the best way of describing it. And so you can have people describe this as having a strong character or a weak character or a good character or a bad character, a great deal of character or no character at all, really. Or you can be a character of disrepute or a fine and noble character. But the key thing is, right, is that character grows and forms. It can be changed over time based upon what influences you. So you might know this quote. Ralph Waldo Emerson, he said, "Sow a thought and you reap an action. Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny." Interesting thought, isn't it? It's the things that you put in, the things that you allow to form you, end up forming your character, forming who you are in the deep sense of your being. And so character can flow out of all these areas. Here's the best news ever. Your character can change. And the promise of the Bible is that Jesus transforms us by the power of his Holy Spirit. As he comes with us, he can change us. He can change our destiny. So your character's never fixed. And so the book of Proverbs is really this whole journey of a dad writing to his son, "Hey, son, look at your life. What's your character? Grow your character up." And so we're going to look at a few ideas of character in the book of Proverbs. There's many that I could draw out, but these are the few that I think are really important. First of all, character is actually about integrity. It's about integrity with who you are on the inside, how you behave with yourself, and then how you behave to others in the world. Proverbs 10 verse 9 up here on the screen. "Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out." And so really it's about being and doing the same person that you are at home with your family and on your own. It's about what you do at work with your mates and at home with your kids. It's about the same as what you do at the pub on Friday night or what you do at church on Sunday. So integrity means that your character is the same. It doesn't matter where you go, what you do, who you're with. Your character represents who you are, and it's about integrity. And I think this idea of integrity is a lot about consistency. It's being consistent with what you know is right and true and noble and living that out wherever you are, because I think we live in a world with lots of inconsistency, where we kind of try and hide things and pretend we're one thing to one group of people and then one group thing to one other group of people. And the Bible says, no, a character is about bringing it all together and having a consistency in all areas of your life. You are who you are. Doesn't matter where you go. That's your character. And so character, he says as he moves on, character is about humility or being humble. And the idea is that you're able to take a good, honest look at yourself and recognize what's actually going on the inside. You don't need to be proud or arrogant. You don't need to feel as though you've got it all together. You don't need to pretend that you're smarter than you really are, because you know who you are. You know your own self, and then everything flows out of that. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. So recognize who you are. The wise person develops their character in a true and right version of themselves. Character is also teachable. So the idea is that as a person, your character can be formed. And so the whole book of Proverbs is about forming your character. Proverbs 19:20, listen to advice and accept discipline. And at the end, you'll be counted among the wise. And so you listen, you learn, you are always teachable. It doesn't matter where you are on the journey, there's always stuff we can learn, is that right? There's always things we can get and learn from other people and learn from God. So a wise character is teachable. Related to this, a wise character is discerning. They're able to look at life and choose and be discerning about what's in front of them. This is a great verse, Proverbs 14, verse 15 and 16. The simple believe anything. I'll just take it all on board. Yeah, I'll believe that. That sounds pretty good. He says, no. But the prudent or the wise give thought to their steps. They think about life. They're discerning. The wise fear the Lord and shun evil, but a fool is hot-headed. Isn't that a great word? A fool's hot-headed and yet feels secure. He doesn't really know what's going on. But, you know, so the idea here is to be discerning. The wise person is discerning and looking at the world around about them and choosing the wise path. The wise person has a peaceable character. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy, on the other hand, is like a cancer in the bones. And so this idea is that the person who is wise, their character, they know who they are. They're able to bring peace to themselves and peace to other people. They don't need to be somebody else. They're secure. And lastly, the character of the wise is someone who's self-controlled. They can see where they start and where they finish. They know who they are and they're satisfied with that. And this amazing verse, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Like there's nothing to you. Like, that's the idea. If you're not in control of who you are, it's like you're just a city that's falling apart. And so he said, no, look at yourself, work out who you are. And so really this idea of character flows into everything that we do. It flows into your work, how you work as a person. It flows into how you act as a boss. It flows into how you act as a son or a daughter or a grandson or a granddaughter, as a parent or as a grandparent. It flows into everything that we do. And so this impacts our whole life. And so a big question then is, if this is what character is like, how do you form it? How do you get character? And so I'm borrowing this off a guy named Dr. Dave Bland. He's written a bunch of commentaries on Proverbs. And he's identified in the book of Proverbs that there's three ways in which your character is formed. First of all, your character is formed in yourself, as you look at yourself with honest reflection, like what's actually going on deep inside here. Your character is formed with others in the interpersonal relationships of life. Like, you're never meant to form your character by sitting on top of a mountain and isolating yourself for the next 40 years. No, your character is formed by living with other people. What does it look like to live with other people? And finally, most importantly, your character is formed as you have a compass in front of you that directs you, and that compass has to be God. It has to be someone outside you, because if you try and determine what's right and wrong, you could end up anywhere. So we're going to look at these three ways in which character is formed. And first of all, it's formed by looking at yourself, your inner self, what's going on with them. And so the whole point of the book of Proverbs is this: is you're meant to read it, you're meant to ingest it, you're meant to chew on it and work out what you're going to do with it, right? And so this is the writer, he says, he's writing to his son, you know, it could be his literal son or someone around him who's younger. It's written to us. And so this is what he says, listen, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So what's the writer saying to the son? Son, you've got to work it out. Go and have a look yourself. Sort it out. Because that's the old guy, he's kind of worked it out. He said, I've been here for 100 years, mate. You know, you, what are you going to do about it? Here's the words, here's the truth, here's the commands. Are you going to listen? Reminds me of Jesus saying, you know, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. It's right there in front of you. Are you going to ask? Are you going to seek? Are you going to knock? You have to take that opportunity to do the thing that's in front of you to do. We, Corinne and I, watched, we have our date night and we watched flicking through Netflix and it's kind of like, what do you watch? So we went to Good Will Hunting. Anyone watch this? You know, 1997 this came out. Man, I feel really old, right? And such a cracking movie. Ben Affleck and Matt Damon's first movie. Robin Williams, obviously, there. And it's a modern parable of character development. If you haven't watched it, go back and watch it. I realised watching a 1997 movie, quoting that at night church, no one was born in 1997. It's like, oh man. So, you know, it's got swearing, it's a bit raw, but basically Will Hunting, who is Matt Damon, is like genius level young guy. He can work out mathematical equations, he can read a book in a matter of hours, he can ingest all these facts, he just knows stuff. But he lives in a really poor suburb. He's got a bunch of mates who are pretty loose, and their life is about drinking and smoking and trying to pick up girls and having fights. And so the whole movie is about this young guy, and he's got a lot going up on in his head. He knows stuff, but is he actually really wise? And so you watch the movie, and the movie is the journey of, is Will Hunting actually going to be good? That's the point. He's got all his mates doing all this garbage over here, and then he's going to decide, is he actually going to find the good path? And Robin Williams takes him on this journey. And the moment comes at this, there's a moment in the movie where Robin Williams says to him, what do you want? What do you want in your life? What do you want? And he just sort of breaks down because he doesn't know. And it's that moment where Will has to open up his life and look inside himself and realize, regardless of all his mates and all that they're doing, what do I want? Who am I? What's the thing that I'm going to pursue? And so this idea of looking at yourself, opening up the hood and looking, we don't really like that, do we? We don't really like unzipping and going, what am I really like on the inside? Like, how do I behave when no one's really watching? What do I think about? What takes up my thought process? You know, and that's the process of looking at yourself. It's unzipping yourself and recognizing who you are. I think sometimes getting married is one of, Tom's getting married in a few weeks' time. We're very excited. Sometimes that moment of getting married, it's like all of a sudden you've been living on your own and then you're chucked in a room with someone else and they see you all the time. You know what I mean? You guys who are married, you know that. And then you put kids in there and they just see everything about you. And it's kind of, well, you realize, man, I thought I was really selfless. And then you realize, actually, I'm not. And so it's that unzipping of self and recognizing who you are. And that's where character formation begins. Galatians chapter 6 says this. If anyone thinks they're something when they're not, they deceive themselves. Have a good look at yourself. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, not about other people, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry your own load. So he's saying, look at yourself, unzip yourself, unmask yourself, recognize who you are. And so my first point is this, character begins by popping the hood on your own heart. That's hard, isn't it? Because we don't want that. Don't want to honestly look at ourselves and go, man, I'm actually really not that good. I need to sort some stuff out. When you do that, you're on that first journey of forming a character. So, because secondly, character formation actually is formed with other people. Our identity is formed in community. The people that you put yourself around are going to form you as a person. Now, if you have a look at the book of Proverbs, go back to chapter 1, verse 8. There's a heading there, and the heading is warning against the sinful, against the invitation of sinful men. So as a dad writing to his son, he's saying, hey, son, watch out for these blokes. And so the whole point of this section, you can go back and read it, it's a young guy, he's about to step out into the world, and there's a gang, we'll call them Du Bois, right? And Du Bois are out there, and they're saying, hey, you know, come and join our gang, it's going to be pretty awesome. We're going to go and lie in wait for an old bloke, and we're going to jump out, and we're going to rob him blind and take all his stuff. It's going to be awesome. And the warning is, and the dad's writing to his son and saying, hey, watch out. Who are you going to put yourself around? Because if you join in with these blokes, you know what's going to happen, don't you? Be careful. He says this in chapter 2. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths and walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. And so these other people, they're going to influence you, son. Choose the right path. Don't get in with them. That's the warning all the way through the book. Be true to your character. If you read on, go home and read this, I reckon, at the next part of chapter 2, and then chapter 5 and chapter 7, he has a really strong warning to his son, because he's talking about there's a prostitute, there's a way of the adulterous woman, and he's saying, be really careful who you put yourself around. You know, that prostitute lives down that street. I guess if you're just walking up and down the street, what's going to happen to your son? Don't put yourself there. Don't put yourself in the place which is going to tempt you and corrupt your character. Put yourself in the right place and put the people around about you. Choose character. And so I reckon character is formed at each moment when you make a really tough decision. When we have to say no to some things and yes to other things because we know what is right. And that's the important thing that Proverbs keeps on saying. It's choosing the right path. And as you do, your character is formed. It's kind of like an engraving over and over again, forming who you are. And so this is what he says as you read on. Choose the people who you're going to be with. Proverbs 13 verse 20. Whoever walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. So you put yourself around wise people, what are you going to become? Wise. You put yourself around a bunch of morons, what's going to happen to you? You're going to become a fool, right? That's what he uses as a word there. You know, you suffer harm. He says it again in Proverbs chapter 12 here. The righteous choose their friends carefully. Choose who your people are going to be around you, who are going to be the guys who direct you, the girls who are going to direct you in your life. But the way of the wicked leads them astray. If you put yourself around certain people, they're going to lead you astray. Choose wisely. One of my favorite proverbs, Proverbs chapter 27, 17. Just as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So if you've got good blokes around you, good women around you, they're going to form you. They're going to sharpen you. They're going to make you sharp. They're going to help you with your character. On the other hand, if you go read 1 Corinthians 15, it says bad company corrupts good character. So if you have bad company, what are they going to do to your character? They're just going to etch it away, strip it away. And so I remember when I was about 14, 15, I started becoming a Christian. I wasn't a Christian before that. And I used to surf with a bunch of blokes at a little surf spot called Potholes. And I'd ride my pushy down there and we'd usually go for a surf. And then around this time, drugs started filtering into our friendship group. And so I'd turn up to the beach and they'd have their fire going and they'd pull out their bong and they'd all start smoking, right? And I'm just becoming a Christian and these are my mates. They're my best mates. And I remember riding down there and saying, now, Dale, do you want to join in with us? I'm going, oh, look. You guys are my mates. I said, oh, sorry, I'm going surfing. I just left them and went surfing. But I realised at that moment, the guys who I was with, if I kept on hanging out with them and they were my best mates, they were going to end up forming my character. I still see them every now and then. And I had to make a conscious decision. These are not the people I can keep on hanging around with. You know, and I was talking with someone else before. There's a great fear that if you leave a friendship, you'll all of a sudden have no friends. But I had to make a decision. Like, I need different friends. I need guys who are going to actually help me on the journey. And God actually provided those friends for me. And there are people who want to help you. And so choose the community. Our identity is formed by the people you put around yourself. So choose the people. You have choice. You have agency. You can choose who's going to be the main voices in your life. That's cool, hey? You can do that. Choose who are going to speak over you. Because lastly, there's a warning here in Proverbs 18. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. Isolated, you think you can sort it all out on your own. He says he breaks out against all sound judgment. You can't sort it out on your own. You need good people around you. And so character is formed in community. And honestly, that's why Christian community is so important. Because you need other people who can help you on the journey to keep on going. You're having a bad week. You know, you ring up one mate and say, don't worry, it's all right, just come over here, we'll get wasted together. Or you ring up another mate and say, yeah, no, let's pray together and just sort this out because I know that's not where you want to be. Like, the community you put around you is going to help you on that journey. And so the Christian community helps you get to a Bible study, go for a walk with a friend, spend time encouraging each other, put people around you who are going to form you. And then lastly, character is formed under God. Because we need some compass, don't we? We need something to direct us. And so we've got characters formed as we look at ourselves, characters formed in community with others, and character is formed under God. So our key verse, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. It starts with God. It's got to start with God. Otherwise, you can end up believing and doing anything. And character comes as we recognize who he is. He becomes our compass. He becomes our compass for right and wrong and for behavior that is good and honorable and right in everyday life. And so you wake up in the morning and it just becomes part of who you are because you're living under God. And we need a starting point. And the writer says this in our passage. Go back and have a look at chapter 2. The Lord gives wisdom. Where does it come from? It comes from God. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. He guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair. You'll know every good path because God's showing you which way to go. He gives you direction. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Something will come into you and give you that sense of who you are and give you that direction where you need to go. I'm not sure which way to go. Well, God shows you. So come back to God. And so it starts with God because really the foundation of character, building your character, it's like, who do I build my character? Who do I base what I want to do upon? And if we look at people, unfortunately, people are going to fail us. Is that right? You know, it doesn't matter how good a person is, their character at some point is going to fail. Now, you can look through the Bible and you can find some great heroes. Remember Abraham? He was called the father of faith. Wow, what a great name. Father of faith, right? Yet, when he gets into a really tricky spot, he's going to Egypt and he's got a really beautiful wife. Rather than just stepping up to the Pharaoh and saying, hey, I'm Abraham, this is my beautiful wife, leave us alone. He goes, oh, no, no, no. Says to his wife, oh, don't worry, just pretend you're my sister. It'll be fine. He lies. He compromises his own character. He fails in a moment of trouble. Remember David a few weeks ago, King David fought the giant Goliath, you know, was the leader in battle, in victory, until he's at home one night and he looks across his balcony and sees his mate's wife having a bath over there. And she's pretty hot. And what should he do? Turn around and walk away. He says, he rings her up, says, hey, come over to my house right now. He sleeps with his mate's best wife, and then to try and cover it up, he kills his best mate and thinks he's gotten away with it. His character at that moment just falls apart. And he's a man after God's own heart. Remember Solomon? Solomon wrote this part of the Bible. He says, hey, son, watch out for all the women. How many wives did he have? Go and read it. 700 wives the guy had. You're nuts. You know, like, that's insane. 300 concubines, 1,000 women in his life. He's saying, hey, son, watch out. And he's led, eventually, as you read the story of King Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, didn't listen to his own advice. His character failed in that moment. He didn't have integrity. And so all human leaders fail. We all fail. So what's going to be your compass point? Who's going to be the one that you're going to build your character upon? And I want to say the answer has got to be Jesus. There's no one in human history like Jesus. There's no one who has lived a life as he did under all the pressure that he faced and didn't crumble. It's nuts. You know, if you have a look at him, he faced temptation. It says he was in the wilderness for 40 days. He was tempted in every way that we are and yet was without sin. That's nuts. You know, you read it, the devil said, hey, Jesus, I can make you rich. We can make an easy buck. It's going to be really easy. No one will know. We're in the wilderness. You'll be right. And he goes, no, that's not the way. The devil comes up to you and says, you know, I know you're starving, Jesus. You've been out here 40 days. There's nothing to eat. Just turn that rock into some bread. No one will know. No one will know. Jesus goes, no, that's not the right way. We follow God. You know, the devil takes Jesus up to the high places. You can be king. You can rule this place. All you've got to do is worship me. He says, no, that's not the right way. He chooses integrity. He does the right thing. And even when his best mates are there, do you remember what happens? Jesus turns up to his best mates and says, hey, boys, I'm going to go and get crucified. A few days' time, it's good. What's going to happen? What do they all say? No. That's a stupid idea, Jesus. Listen to the boys. The boys know best right now. Listen to the boys. And he says, no, that's not the way. This is God's way. And even all his friends are telling him to do one thing. He says, no, this is the right path. I'm choosing the right path. He lived a life of integrity. You know, you want to base your character upon someone, choose Jesus. There is no one better to build your life upon. He was tempted like you and me in every way and yet kept on choosing the right path. He walked as the true Son of God. He never turned his back on God and lived that life. I want to follow him. I'm not going to be perfect like he is, but I want to follow him and live a life that reflects him. And so that's what we talk sometimes here about spiritual formation. It's about forming your character as you follow God. And the way that we do that is this journey of becoming like Jesus. Doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter what you're doing, your character is formed as you become like Jesus. The verse here that we have is 2 Corinthians 3:18. If you have a chance to go and read this, please do. And we all who with unveiled faces, the idea of here of an unveiled face is a face is now seen God clearly. We've been forgiven. We now see God clearly. We have an unveiled face. We contemplate the Lord's glory. Here's the key thing. You are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So God is transforming you as you look to Jesus to be like Jesus. And so really, how do you do that? You know, if you think that your character is formed by the people you put around you and you want to be like Jesus, man, you need to get Jesus around you. So you need to get into the Word, read the Bible. What was Jesus like? How did he respond? If I'm in the similar situation, what would I say? How would I respond? Get into the Word. You need to spend time with God. Now, if you want God to form you, spend some time with God. Go and pray. Engage with him and spend time with him. And we need to speak about Jesus. You know, the best way to learn something and engrave it into your life is actually to teach other people. And so when you start speaking about the truth that you know about Jesus with others, it becomes part of who you are. I really believe this. Yes, you do. Oh. And so we kind of live that out. And we engage with others, we listen and we learn from each other. We need to be intentional about forming our character. Because if you're not, your character can be formed by anything and everything. And so we need to be intentional in saying, no, I want to be like Jesus and I want him to form my character and allow him to settle deeply within you by the power of your Spirit. And so to wrap up the day, it's a journey, isn't it? You know, character is not formed overnight. You know, it's a journey of walking with Jesus. And so first of all, we do the hard work of popping the lid of our own selves and recognizing who we are and go, man, I need some help. I'm not as good as I thought I was. And then we bring ourselves to Jesus and we find that he is forgiving and kind and merciful, gives us grace when we don't deserve it. And when we find our security in him, we start with ourselves. We realise that we can't do it alone. You know, if you're imagining that you can be a Christian and sort of get through life on your own, it's you might be able to. It's really hard. It's not the way of the Bible. The Bible is about living in community and being with other people and putting people around you who can help you on the journey. I got to speak at a 50th last night. Corinne and I went to one of our best friends' 250ths. And I'm going to speak about one of my best mates. We have the same day off. It's Thursday. That's our usual surf day. We go surfing together. You'll often see us at the beach. And so we meet up. We have a chat. We're in the water. We're talking about life and parenting and church and ministry and our kids and, you know, all the important things of life. And then sometimes you'll see us at East Corrimal. We go and buy a hot pork roll, like a banh mi roll. And we're just sitting there and we're chatting and we pray about life and, you know, we have a hug and we go home. And it was just a real encouragement to remember that's significant, important rhythm in my week, that I have someone who I meet up with regularly who we encourage each other on the journey. You can't do it on your own. So put someone around you who's going to help you on the journey. Maybe it's someone in the room. Hey, let's go and have a coffee. Let's hang out together. I like what you do somehow, and I can see there's something about you. Let's hang out. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Well, you want to be sharp. And then lastly, character is formed under God. What are you doing in your life to form your character so that it's becoming like Christ? Where are you putting in the Bible time? Where are you putting in your prayer time? Where are you putting that time to engage with God so that he actually forms you and so that you become like Jesus? I'm going to pray and ask for God's help today. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you form us into Christ-like character. I pray that as we pop the hood of our hearts and our lives, and that we'll recognise that we're not perfect, that we need you, and that we ask you to form us. We ask you to mould us and to make us more like Jesus. Lord, thank you that you do forgive us, that you change us from the inside out. Lord, be changing and transforming us, we pray. And Lord, help us to do it together. We're not on our own. We need each other. Help us to be doing this and caring for each other. Help us to put people around about us who can support us, and who can challenge us and who can rebuke us when we need to kick up the bum, and who can keep pointing us to what is true and right. Lord, help us to choose who are our main voices we listen to. And so, Lord, we need you. We need to be formed by you. Lord, do your hard work of forming us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.